For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Two sides to everything. And as the prophet Isaiah looks down through the years into the future and sees this little child that is to be born in the city of Bethlehem, looking at it from the human earthly side, he declares, unto us a child is born. And Luke so beautifully describes that special evening when Mary, this beautiful young girl, so deeply spiritual, brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in that manger. That's the earthly side. But from the divine side, unto us a son is given. So that we have come to realize that that baby, that child that was born in Bethlehem, was in reality the Son of God, whom God gave to man. Whenever a child is born, the parents are always interested in the birth announcements. You know, in the days before the birth of the child, in the selecting of the layette and all of that, you're also, you know, looking at the card store and seeing the clever little announcements and just what kind of an announcement will we send out this time. And you're looking for something that it is innovative and original and unique, because you want to announce to your friends the glorious event that has taken place. Your child has been born. My wife, Kay, is so singularly clever. She was able to write beautiful little poems and clever little poems by which she announced the coming into the family of another member joining us that were there. And she was always able to write the clever little poems. And our friends always enjoyed our announcements because they were done so cleverly. And you like to do something like that if possible. But I'll tell you, Mary beat us all. As far as the announcements of the birth of her child, there were shepherds keeping watch in the field at night, and the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them as the angel announced, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts as they said, "Glory to God in the highest," as they congratulated the father of the child. The divine side, glory to God in the highest, but the human side, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Always the divine and the human. Always the heavenly and the earthly, especially as you deal with the birth of Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born. But that child is a son who has been given. Who gave his son? We are told in John's gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is interesting to me that the Jewish rabbis today declare that one of their reasons for rejecting that Jesus is the Messiah is his claim to be the Son of God. They said, and they will say, that they do not believe that the Messiah is or will be the Son of God. They believe the Messiah will be just a man. As Moses was a man, so will the Messiah be just a man. And because Jesus claims to be the Son of God, they reject him as the Messiah. But it is interesting, it is their very prophecy in Isaiah, where it is declared that this child that is born is a son that is given. And it can only be God who gave his son. John tells us in his epistle, now this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. Unto us a child is born. More than that, for this child that is born is the Son of God, whom God gave unto man. Why would God give his Son? First of all, God gave his Son in order that he might save man from his sins. Jesus said, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You say, well, saved from what? Saved from the natural consequences of a poor choice. Saved from the power of darkness that has taken man as a captive and is holding him as a prisoner. Save him from the destruction that must inevitably follow the path of life that man has chosen to walk. You see, when God first created man, he had created man for his own good pleasure. That was his purpose. In fact, we read in Revelation chapter 4 when the cherubim are ascribing praise and glory to God. The elders respond, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for you have created everything, and for your good pleasure they were all created." Created for God's good pleasure. But you see, man has made a foolish choice, and he said, I'll please myself. And man sought to live for his own pleasure. I'll do what I please. Leave me alone. And so often man says that to God. Leave me alone. I'll do what I please. And he is not interested or concerned in bringing God pleasure, only interested in bringing himself pleasure. Man was deceived. He thought that he could find a meaning for life if he would just find pleasure for himself. Now, it was God's intention that we should put him at the very center and the core of our lives, that we live God-centered lives, that we live for him. He's at the center. But man did not like having God at the center of his life. He began to live a self-centered life. Taking God from the throne, setting him aside, I sit upon the throne of my life and I say, I will do as I please, I will do as I wish. I'll live for myself. And man began to live very selfish lives. Now, what is the consequence of a selfish life? First of all, greed. Because I want more for me. More and more for me. And that greed then leads me to envy, because I look at what you have and I begin to desire what you have. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want more, and I want what you've got. And I begin then to get jealous of what you have. And I begin to scheme whereby I might be able to take what you have by cunning or conniving or whatever, in order to get what you have and make it mine. And then I begin to strive. And I begin to fight. And there come wars. And there come killings. And there becomes the resultant misery and sorrow and grief. Why? Because self is at the center. A selfish, self-centered life, it ultimately is going to lead to the destruction of the individual person and of the society where men have espoused self as God or self as Lord. God didn't intend that man should live that way. That wasn't the plan of God at all. He intended that he would be at the center and the heart of a person's existence. And man, having placed God aside and enthroning himself, has brought this world to the brink of destruction. Think of it. Here is a man who will walk away from his wife and his beautiful children because he selfishly is going to pursue the excitement of a new experience. He's thinking only of himself. But look at the tragedy and the heartbreak and the destruction that comes from such selfishness. Selfishness lies behind the misery, the suffering, the destruction of the world that we see today. It destroys. It destroys everything that is good and worthwhile. Oh, what a horrible thing is selfishness. What a cruel tyrant when it is upon the throne, because it is merciless. It crushes everything around it. And so was man. Because he would not allow God to rule over his life, he is on the path of destruction. But unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. And God gave his son that he might save us from that inevitable consequence of taking God from the throne of our lives and putting ourselves there in his place. To save us from the misery, the woe, the evil of a self-centered life. The angel said to the shepherds, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." They go hand in hand. It is not until I leave myself and begin to look for the good of others and to help others and minister others that I really know peace within myself. As long as I'm just out for me, there's going to be striving, there's going to be that constant reaching and trying for more and more and more, and that inner turmoil as I'm grasping for more. It's not until I quit looking for myself and I start looking out for others that I really experience peace. But I can only do that when God is on the throne of my life once again. Unto us a child was born, and unto us a son was given, and God gave his son in order that his son might reveal the truth to us concerning God. For men's concepts of God became totally messed up. For man was so foolish as to imagine that God was like him. And man began to develop his own concepts of God. And really, you can only have two real sources for your concept of God, and that is God's revelation of himself, or what I think God should be, or what I think God is. And what do I think God is? He's what I would be if I were in his boots. If I were God, this is the way I would do it. This is the way I would think about it. This is the way I would consider it. And so I begin to create my own God that is after my own image. A projection of myself. And I begin to worship then the projection of myself as God. But because I'm greedy, I begin to think that God is greedy. Because I'm willing to take from others if necessary to enhance myself, I think that God will cruelly take from others. I begin to think that God is ready to destroy anything that gets in his path, stops his grasping for what he wants, get in the way and you're going to be obliterated, you know. Because I think of God as I think of myself. And man got a messed up concept of God. And no man had seen God at any time, but God gave his Son to reveal the truth of the Father. And what did he reveal? He revealed to us that God is love. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That God was long-suffering and patient and full of compassion. That God was tender and forgiving. That God was merciful and gracious. A son was given in order that you might know the truth about the Father. Unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. And God gave his Son in order that through him he might bring you back into fellowship with himself. Back to the divine ideal. That back to the original intention of God for man. Because of man's selfishness, he could not be one with God. He lost that consciousness of God. He lost that vital life of God. He became alienated from God, an enemy, and at enmity with God. God so loved the world and so loved lost man that he wanted to restore man back into oneness with him. And to this end, a son was given that he might bring you back into communion, into one with the eternal living God. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and God gave his Son that through him you might have eternal life. This is the record. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has life. But if you don't have the Son, then you cannot have the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So the purpose of God in sending his Son is to keep you from destroying yourself. And to bring you into fellowship with God, into that eternal life of God, that you might become a part of God. You know, Christmas time, we're always looking for the perfect gift, aren't we? Asking those questions whereby we can sort of figure out what they really want for Christmas this year, and we like to provide them with the perfect gift. We want them to be totally ecstatic when they open the box. Oh, what I've always wanted. Oh, I like those words, the perfect gift. I have a problem this Christmas because I have a little granddaughter who wants a Samoyed puppy. And I priced them at the pet stores. They're $450. And there's no way Grandpa's going to kick for that much money for a Samoyed puppy. And yet, I know that when she opens, you know, the teddy bears and the dolls and everything else, when it's all over, I'm going to be looking at big brown eyes, and I'm going to see a little lip that sort of curled, and she's going to say, "Daddy, Grandpa, where's my puppy?" I'm going over to the animal shelter tomorrow to see if I can find a Samoyed puppy, though I have other important things to do. This is the most important right now. I've got to get that perfect gift. But talking about a perfect gift, here it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Unto us a child is born, but oh, unto us a son has been given. Given to us that through him we might know God, through him we might have the life of God, through him we might be spared the destruction of our own folly. And the amazing thing is that when God gave his son, he gave him to be a sacrifice for our sins. Herein is love. Not that I love God, that's no big deal. But that God loved me and sent his son as the sacrifice for my sins. That's love. That's the perfect gift. The gift that God has given to man. So that at the birth of his son, the pall of death hung heavy over the manger because he was born to die. The shadow of the cross was over the child from the beginning. Just after his circumcision, and he was brought into the temple to be presented to the Lord, a few days or a few weeks later, as Simeon, the priest, held him up and said, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for I have seen your salvation." He turned to Mary and he spoke that this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. And indeed, the sword is going to pierce your own heart when you see him hanging on that cross. Born to die. God gave his son to die for your sins, to die for you, and to die for me. That's love. I can understand God sending his son to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But to send his son to die for me is a greater love than what I can really comprehend. You see, there were wise men who were following a star from the east. And they came to Jerusalem and they inquired of this wicked despot called Herod, who was the king. They said, where do the scriptures say the Messiah is to be born? We have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. And so Herod went to the rabbis and he says, where does it say the Messiah is to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem. And so he came back and he told the wise men, in Bethlehem. And they started toward Bethlehem and they rejoiced because they saw the star and it brought them to the house where the young child was. But this wily old Herod said, look, you go and you worship the child, but when you find him, come again and tell me so that I can come and worship him also. That clever fox, he had no intention of worshiping the child. He was going to kill him. Why? Why would you want to kill a baby? Because that child was a threat to the wicked, horrible life that he wanted to live. He wanted to live a life of rebellion against God, open debauchery. He wanted to live a wicked, vile life, and this child was a threat to the lifestyle that he desired. And so rather than change his lifestyle, he'll kill the child. Hey, do you know that Herod's descendants are not all dead? That there are many people today who would still like to destroy even the memory of the birth of this child? Because this child is opposed to the wicked, vile lives that they want to live. And so they'll file suits to have the nativities removed from public places. They don't want to be reminded that a child was born because that child threatens the vicious, evil lives that they've chosen to live. He always stands as a threat to the selfish, self-centered life. And if that's what you have chosen and you desire, you find yourself also opposed to this child. Because he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. He said, give to the poor. Go sell what you have, distribute it among the poor. He said that you're to have love and compassion towards those that are in need. That you're not to think of yourself first, but you're to think of God first. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And be kind, be forgiving, be loving. Have tender mercy towards those who have wronged you. Pray for them. People who had put themselves on the throne didn't like those things. And so one day they arrested him and they brought him before Pilate. And they demanded that Pilate execute him. And Pilate said, why? What are the charges? What evil has he done? And they could not point a finger at any evil. All they said was, he says he's the Son of God. But you see, they didn't like what God was saying. Because it was a threat to the lifestyle that they had chosen for themselves. And so they sought to destroy him. There are many people today who would like to destroy Jesus. They don't like what he said. Because he came out point blank and said, if you seek to save your own life, if you live for yourself, you're going to lose it all. But if you will just lose your life for my sake, you'll find out what living is all about. And true purpose is found in giving, more than in receiving, more blessed. Unto us a child is born. It's beautiful. A beautiful story of a baby born in a manger in a little village of Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, cradled in his mother's arms. But that baby that was born was God's only begotten Son, who he gave for you, that you might know the life of God. So in him, God became man. Jesus, the Son of God. And he became man in order that he might make you what he is, the Son of God. He became what we are to make us what he is. And may you experience the gift of God this year by opening your heart and life to Jesus Christ and receiving God's gift to you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you so loved us in that wicked, horrible state in which we were in. By our own doing, God, we have no excuses, but we thank you that you loved us with an everlasting love, and that you gave your Son to die for us, to reveal your love to us, to bring us into fellowship with you, that we might have eternal life through him. Thank you, Father, for your glorious gift, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. Merry Christmas. It can only be when he's more than just a child born in Bethlehem. But he becomes to you the gift of God's love. For you see, two sides to everything. There is the giver and there is the recipient. And it's not really yours until you receive it. God gave, but it's not really yours until you receive. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The moment you receive, all that power comes into your life and transforms you into the Son of God, that which God wants you to be. All the privileges and benefits and blessings of being a Son of God. What more perfect time to open your heart to the Savior, Christ the Lord, than Christmas. I encourage you to go back to the prayer room as we're dismissed, and there kneel before the babe, even as the wise men. Offer to him your life. Step off the throne and let him sit on the throne of your heart. You'll never be sorry. Your life will be transformed you'll discover what living is all about. May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and give you a very, very beautiful Christmas day as you gather with those that you love. And remember, remember, the perfect gift has already been given. Let's share it with one another. God's love in Jesus.